Hi, everybody. Welcome back to WFAN's Baseball Insiders Yankees podcast for Monday, April 12th. The Yankees lost 2 out of 3 to the Rays over the weekend. They won an extra innings game on Sunday. Puts the record at 4-5 after basically a week and a half of this regular season. They have kind of teetered a little bit here, gotten out of the gate slow, have not hit very well, and you're looking for them to kind of get on that roll, get on a streak, and show their potential because they've been relatively healthy. We'll get to that in a minute. But a couple of things to remember or keep in mind about this series against the Rays over the weekend. Let's remember that Tampa Bay is still pretty good. And I think we kind of lose sight of that sometimes. Listen, the Yankees are supposed to win every game, and I get that. And they're favorites in the division, and we're still a long ways away from that. But I think we always kind of underestimate who Tampa Bay is because of the way they go about their business. Keep in mind that, you know, they got rid of Blake Snell, let Charlie Morton go, and we think, okay, they're going to take a step back. But think about what the Rays know. The Rays know that for them to compete, and they always do compete, that they need pitching, right? Especially in the AL East. So it always makes me worry when the Rays give away pitching. I actually think the opposite. When people think, oh, they're going to take a step back, I think, what do they know that we don't? What are they hiding that we don't know yet? And right now, they're putting together a pretty good staff, and they're putting together a decent team. So far, they're only 4-5, and who knows how they've had a lot of injuries, so who knows what a long season will do to them? But in order to look at the Rays on an everyday basis and look at them when you're coming into a game, you can't dismiss them. And this is not a 100-loss Rays team, I don't think. We'll see how this plays out. This is a competitive team with some guys, a lot of guys, who were on the AL champions last year. Randy Arozarena is going to torment the Yankees a lot. This is a pretty good player, I think we've found. He's unlocked something after really what happened in the postseason last year. He looks to be carrying this over, at least against the Yankees he did, and this guy is a real threat, so we'll see what he does. Remember, the Yankees and Rays play again next weekend. They play 19 times in all. You didn't see any incidents in this past weekend series, but you saw, a little bit of friction with the hit by pitches. And that's something to keep in mind because these guys are going to, the tempers will erupt at some point. Somebody's going to get hit and not like it. This is going to be a continuing part, and we're going to see how this plays out for the Yankees and Rays next weekend when they play a 3-game series at Yankee Stadium. Aaron Judge missed a couple of games, and it was a very big storyline for the week, trying to figure out what exactly was happening with Judge and the side injury, soreness, whatever they were saying was keeping him out. It wasn't exactly an injury. Judge was pretty vague. Aaron Boone was pretty vague. And that part is more frustrating because we know Judge's injury history. And it feels like there's something not being told because, you have a lot invested in this player and you want to see this player on the field. I'm talking about you as a fan. Emotionally, you're invested in wanting to see this player on the field, wanting to see the Yankees' best player in the field. And the injuries the last few years have been extremely frustrating. And you look at Judge, miss a couple of games, and you want to know what's happening. Well, he came back in the lineup on Saturday and Sunday, he had a pretty good couple of games before that against Baltimore before he had this issue and was in the lineup, nothing outrageous, but he played 2 days in a row. Played on that turf, so good. He's in the lineup and he's okay. It is not a long-term thing. Judge himself talked about kind of wanting to be smart and knowing his own history, not wanting this to turn into something. So cutting back on the workload for a couple of days and then getting back in the lineup. As frustrating as that is to hear about, the reasons for it, it actually sounds pretty smart to keep this from going forward. Because let's keep in mind, this is not just a Yankees issue. As of Monday morning, here are some of the players that are on the injured list. Less than 2 weeks into the season, these are players, and that's one of the arguments. You hear they haven't even played 10 games. How can these guys get hurt? How can these guys need days off? Here is a list of the players that are on the injured list right now, as of Monday: Tim Anderson, Miguel Cabrera, Cody Bellinger, Josh Donaldson, Fernando Tatis Jr., and George Springer. Here's a list of players that are in the day-to-day missing a couple of games list. Alex Bregman, Anthony Rendon, Mookie Betts, Christian Yelich, Cabrian Hayes. There are a handful of MVPs on this list. Batting champ, rookie of the year candidate, high-priced, high-paid players. These are the guys that other teams are counting on to be in their lineup as much as possible, too. And for various reasons, they are not. This is not a problem unique to the Yankees, although I understand how when we focus on the Yankees and we see the hits they've taken and some of their high-paid players, now listen, most of their players are high-paid, so that's going to be an issue when one of them gets hurt. But this is not unique to the Yankees. Less than 2 weeks into the season, the Yankees have actually been relatively healthy. The fact that Judge only missed two games is actually pretty good news. Luke Voit is the biggest hit they've taken to the injured list as from a position player standpoint. So I think it's actually, if you look at the way the rest of the league has gone, you might understand that the Yankees are actually in pretty good shape here, and the Judge missing two games is not the end of the world, although I completely understand why we're looking at it the way we do because of his history the last few years and the sketchy nature of the information that comes out. And a lot of that really comes from Judge, too. If you go back to 2017 with his shoulder injury, he never really gave out much information about that. We were watching, and this is back when we were in the clubhouse every day and could see him and talk to him, not like now. You could see the ice pack on his shoulder, and you could see a timeline that indicated maybe there was a cortisone shot that made things better because it improved pretty drastically at a certain point. Yet Judge was not admitting to any of that stuff. So he keeps a lot of this close to the vest too. And specifically with Judge, when Aaron Boone or Brian Cashman do not divulge a whole lot, I feel like Judge might be driving this bus a little bit too, because they do give you specific information about other players, about tests they've undergone, and about what the results are. Judge, it's always a little iffy, and I think a lot of that really comes from the player wanting to keep it that way. So for now, Judge is healthy. We'll see how many games he plays this week. The Yankees have the three straight against Toronto. Remember, that is not on turf. That is in Dunedin in Florida. And we'll see how he comes through that. And then there's an off day, a weekend series against the Rays back home, and then another off day. So a lot of rest built into the schedule for the pitchers as well. We'll see how the Yankees use that. Jordan Montgomery had a pretty good, you know, I've talked before about how important I think Montgomery is, because you know he missed bulk of 18 and 19 seasons coming back from Tommy John, and 20 was the shortened season. This is really the first chance we're getting in 4 years to get an extended look at Jordan Montgomery, and I think he's itching for this too. He has some chances here to really push forward and build on that promise from 2017. His first outing was a tremendous one. I think this one wasn't great, but I think he did a really good job of kind of steadying the ship and getting through five innings. He pitched into the sixth. He was probably one batter away from leaving this ballgame in the third, and he worked into the sixth inning. He didn't get an out in the sixth inning, walked the leadoff batter, and then was removed. But to recover from the two-run homers that he gave up in the second and the third innings and push it forward into the sixth inning, I thought that set the Yankees up for victory as much as anything else that happened later on. Now, the bullpen obviously did real good work, as they have continued to do. Chad Green, Darren O'Day, Aroldis Chapman on Sunday. We know what kind of work Jonathan Loaisiga has put in. Green looked better on Sunday than I think he did at any of the other points during the course of the season, early part of the season so far. He is as valuable as anybody else in that bullpen because of what he can do, especially in those multi-inning situations as well. But it led the Yankees to extra innings, where after losing a couple of extra innings games in the opening week, they won a game in extra innings on Sunday, and less complaining, I would think, about this, about the extra innings rules when you win a game, but maybe not. I know there are people who aren't fans of it. I gave my reasons as to why I kind of am okay with this and even kind of like this idea, and you can go back and listen to that in last week's podcast. You will hear my reasons for the extra innings rule. Now, on Sunday night, and earlier in the weekend against the Mets home opener, you saw issues with replay in the Phillies Braves game and in the Mets game with Michael Conforto and the hit by pitch. And rightly, it leads people to wonder why replay exists, because, you know, if you can't get these calls right or push forward the scope of it to make sure you get these calls right, well, then, yeah, it does leave a gaping hole. But I keep coming back to this idea when I see people say, you know, should just get rid of it, altogether if you're not going to use it. Well, you know that's not going to happen. And the reason it's not going to happen is because you still have HDTV and slow motion instant replay. If you want replay as a tool to go away, then you have to take everybody's TVs out and put in the old-fashioned sets, maybe even black and white sets, so we can't see what we're missing. And that's why replay exists, is because the TV technology shows you every day what the human eyes are missing. Now, they're still missing some things, and they're getting some things wrong. That's part of the process that has to continue to evolve and get better, and we will continue to complain about that, I'm sure, for good reason. But let's not pretend that you can just throw replay away and forget about it, because everybody at home is going to be watching a different game than the people at the ballpark, if that's the case. Does it slow things down? Yeah, absolutely. It's a really annoying part of games where you have to stop the momentum of everything that's happening and watch the umpires stand around. And let's keep in mind, watching the umpires jog over to put the headset on is nothing but for a TV visual to show you that something's happening, because they're not doing anything. The people in the replay center in New York are doing all the work, but you can't have everybody standing around and doing nothing. So in order to build some visual into, oh, they're going to look at the replay now, you have the umpires jogging over, putting on the headset, and you can put a sponsor's logo on this, and you can say, okay, here's what's happening. But if everybody's just standing there and then has something relayed to them from New York, well, it's not quite as big a visual. So I understand the optics of what they're doing, but keep in mind, those umpires in the field really aren't doing anything when it comes to the replay. Anyway, the whole system is constantly being evolved and evaluated, and hopefully one day it will be, you know, less. It'll be a little bit more foolproof. You know, there will be fewer and fewer holes in the system as we get going. Yankees and Blue Jays for three games in Dunedin, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, off day Thursday, and a three-game series coming up against the Rays. Gerrit Cole pitches the opener on Monday night. He is, of course, the Yankees ace, and the hope for the Yankees is that he continues to pitch like it to keep the other members of the staff where they're supposed to be. The sure thing has to be the sure thing if you're the New York Yankees, and Gerrit Cole is their sure thing. Remember to subscribe to WFAN's Baseball Insiders on your podcast platforms at Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. You can get Ed Coleman's Mets reports and my Yankees reports delivered to you. We are at you a couple times a week during this regular season. Hope you're enjoying them. Hey, go ahead and review too and let us know how you feel. And we will see you the next time. Coming up on Thursday of this week. I'm Sweeney Murdy. Thanks for listening.